Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
If you are going to follow him, you're going to have to take up your cross daily and follow him. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. And it may not be fun, it may not be pretty, but what will happen is you will get through to some people.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so grateful you've tuned into the program. Richard wants to share with you some encouragement, words of hope, and probably a laugh or two. And in today's complicated, busy life, that's exactly what's needed. Richard's talks are always straight from the Bible, filled with truth. Now, you may not be able to hang out with us for the entire program, but you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellis.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellis.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Holy Cow. I actually received an email recently, and I'm not going to read you all of it, but the person actually said who they were. And after I read this email, I had to acknowledge in part that they were right. And let me read you part of the email. Pastor Richard, it's been a year or more that I have been going to your services because I found a place where someone never offended other religions. Until, of course, he cites the date to hear someone say, and then he quotes me, and this is pretty much what I said. To actually believe you will come back as a cow, you're Looney Tunes. And I said that, right? And we all laughed, and that didn't go over big with this person. I also made a comment, and he went on to talk about that I mentioned Mary, the Virgin Mary, and I said she was no one. I didn't mean to say that Virgin Mary was no one, that Mary was just no one. I just meant she was just some girl. And if you come from a Catholic background, to mention Mary as not being Mary, that seems like a derogatory thing. I was not slamming Mary anyway, so I'll try to clear that out. But I will acknowledge this. It is inappropriate at some point to make fun of someone else's religion. Because if you really are about reaching the world with the gospel and loving people, then you have to figure out where that person is and then let them see who you are and what you have. And hopefully what you have is so dramatically different and demonstrably, you know, there's just so much love in your life, and it works that when you ask them about theirs, not mocking theirs, so words get said, and I can get on a roll, but you know what? I apologize. It's not appropriate. So kind of where we're going to go today is this. If you really are not just some right-wing, crazy religious person, and you are intent on reaching people around you that you come in contact with, this isn't a you thing, we have to think about what we are doing and what we are saying. And you say, well, but they're lost. Okay, they're lost. But if you've ever swum out to someone who was drowning, which I remember as a kid, I was not a Boy Scout, but I somehow ended up at some Boy Scout thing in Brazil. And I got there the day, I don't even know how this happened, but they were doing rescuing in a pool. We had to learn how to swim out and save someone who's drowning. So you swim out to the drowning person, and what would you do? You don't save them. What do? You let them drown. Right? Because if you try to rescue someone who's drowning, they're flailing their arms and they'll grab you and push you under trying to keep themselves up. So you tread water away from them and let them run out of gas. You put your arm around them and you swim them back to safety, right? Well, you don't tread water going, you idiot, you're drowning. How did you get out here? Are you some kind of fool? You know, you don't mock the drowning person. You go, I'm right here. Give up, you know, whatever you say to them. And then you help them. If you're gonna be in a position to help people, you have to figure out where they are. You say, but I don't agree with where they are. You know what? You probably didn't agree with where you are when you became a Christian too, right? So you want someone to come along to find out what's going on. You want a doctor. When you go to the doctor and you've broken a limb, you go, yeah, it's all broken. Look at there, buddy. You know, whipping your arm around. Ah! You want someone to gently set that bone and be careful with you. Okay, so let's read some verses. Go to Jeremiah 10. Now, I mean, an obvious place for holy cow, while we're on holy cow, is India. And you go to India and you say, there's cows everywhere. You go to Delhi or, you know, some of these big cities, there might be 30, 40,000 cows wandering around town. And they actually have wranglers in these cities that try to gently get these cows and take them out to reserves because, you know, that's nuts. They're starving people. Kill the cows, right? That's the rational American, let's fix the problem. Stop believing this mess. But see, if you were raised in a home and told that a cow is sacred in Hinduism and that, you know, they provide life and they plow and they do all these things and it just kind of turns into the you don't hurt cows, that's what you know. You say, well, that's stupid. It's not stupid to the person who believes it with all their heart and they're trying to be sincere and hold on to that and at least be respectful of what they say they believe. They're doing the best they can with what they've got. And then you come alongside that person to go, tell me about this. You know, how does this work for you? What are the benefits of Hinduism? And how does it affect your personal life? And you listen to them and you don't sit there going, well, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. You're Looney Tunes. And then you say, now that we've established you're Looney Tunes, let me tell you about my Jesus. And we're the ones that look Looney Tunes because we have completely disrespected someone and lost our opportunity to engage in a conversation and say, wow, that's interesting where you come from. Let me tell you where I come from. This is what I used to believe. And someone told me about this man, Jesus, and that's changed my life. And I have joy and I have peace and I have these things. And honestly, I might not even give a rip or anything about you, but God's given me a love from him, for myself, for him, and for you. And I'd love to talk to you about my Jesus and see if Jesus trumps cow. And if it doesn't, God bless you, right? You say, well, they're gonna be lost forever. You can't change that. You can't talk someone out of something. Only Jesus has the power to raise the dead. And that's what that person is. They're dead in their trespasses and sins, but you don't punch them while they're down, right? Now, let me read something out of Jeremiah 10. And let's just start here with verse 1. He says, hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. So he's addressing the house of Israel, his chosen people. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. They look up in the stars and see something. Oh my gosh, the sky is falling, or you know, whatever they come up with. For the customs of the peoples are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. They are upright like a palm tree and they cannot speak. What someone has done is cut a tree down, skin the thing, make an idol out of it, cover it with silver and gold. It's talking about making an idol, okay? They are upright like a palm tree and they cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot go by themselves. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor can they do any good. Now, I personally don't like going, you know, you say, well, I thought you were talking about being sensitive. I'm not crazy about going to countries that have a lot of idols. I'm not comfortable with that. Because I think, is it really the idols that throw me for a loop, or is it the spiritual oppression that goes with that? Because if you see an idol is just that. It's just a piece of, now, see, I gotta be careful. Now, you see how this works? You see how this works? Even in my attempt, I am so insensitive because I believe so strongly what I believe that I can still be a train wreck. You walk in someone's home. You go in and they've got a little altar. They've got a little statue. They've got their thing. Oh, I'm not going to be here. How in the world are you going to witness to the people in there if you won't go in there? So you encounter something you're not comfortable with. And you say, okay, Lord, I'm here. I'm in the world. I'm not of the world. I don't want to do that, but I'm in the world. So help me get past my own discomforts and cultural stuff. You don't have to go on a mission trip to get uncomfortable. The world has come to us. And then we hide in our little neighborhoods, in our little trenches, and in our little places we go so we can avoid the foreigners. You know what? We are the foreigners. Just ask an American Indian. We are the foreigners. All right, let's go back to the book. Don't be afraid of them. They can't carry to go by themselves. Do not be afraid of them. They cannot do evil. They cannot do any good. Inasmuch as there is none like you, O Lord, you are great. Your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your rightful due. For among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether dull-hearted and foolish. A wooden, now I'm trying to be sensitive, this is in the book. A wooden idol is a worthless doctrine. Now, how are you going to read the scripture to someone and explain this? You have to do it gently. You can't just go punching people in the nose. And you say, look, you say, well, is that what apologetics is? That you're apologizing and backing up the whole time? That's not really what it is, but it's not a bad thing. You've got to gently go in and say, look, I hear what you're saying about what you believe, but with all due respect, and in an attempt to explain it so that you can understand this, I see that you have an idol here that you pray to.
But I believe that my God is living, all powerful, that he has ears to hear. He has eyes to see. He can walk. He can move. He can go. He is powerful. Contrast that with your statue that a man has made. Do you see how that what I am trying to communicate to you seems different to me, and that it might be worth thinking about hooking up with a God who can do these things? Now, you just hear the change in the approach there. Well, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. You pray to that thing? They say, well, I don't care about that. Exactly. And that's why the world ends up going to hell in a lot of cases, because we don't care. And then you follow Jesus around, and somehow he is able to interact with anyone, especially lost people, because he was not like the religious people who didn't have time of day for those people. And they were drawn to him and could tell him where they were. And if they were lost, he'd say, okay, I'm what you're looking for. Keep reading, verse 8. But they are altogether dull hearted and foolish. A wooden idol is a worthless doctrine. Silver is beaten into plates. It is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the craftsman in the hands of the metalsmith. Blue and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skillful men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth will tremble, and the nations will not be able to endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the God that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom. He has stretched out the heavens at his discretion. When he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. And he causes the vapors to descend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. Everyone is dull-hearted, without knowledge. Every metalsmith is put to shame by an image, for his molded image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. It's even how you read it. There is a way to even read this scripture to someone who believes in idolatry and say, look, this is the God that I believe in. With some excitement, with some genuine, earnest belief. And people know the difference, and they respect if you really believe something. Keep reading. Every metalsmith put to shame by an image, for his molded image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are futile, a work of errors. In the time of their punishment, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the maker of all things. And he goes on to keep talking about this. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus here, he makes a comment. You know this passage. Once you get there, you go, okay, I know what this is. It's the Lord's Prayer. And he says in verse 7, Matthew 6, 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as who? As the heathen do. Who are the heathen? People that we would say they're not believers. They are lost. But you know what? That's all they know. If you were raised and taught that if you just repeat the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, that that's going to get through to God, you know what you're going to do? You're going to repeat the same thing over and over and over again because that's what you know, right? And so you meet someone, you say, why do they just pray those silly prayers over and over and over and over again and count stuff and whatever they're doing? That ain't going to work. Well, then show them what will. Well, I don't want to talk to those people. Really? Who's going to talk to them? And you say, well, how do you engage in that conversation? You pull up next to him and go, wow, I see that you are really, you believe strongly in something. Tell me about that. You say, well, you're just teaching us to be manipulative. You know what? If you're manipulative, that's your problem. If you care about people, they're going to know that. When you sit with someone and ask them questions and begin to weep in their presence over their soul, they will not think you're manipulative because people have real detectors. They know when it's real and when it ain't real. And real sticks with them and listens genuinely and then imparts. If you don't have anything to say, that's going to blow you up. You ask all these questions, then you got nothing. They'll know pretty quick. You got nothing. So you say, tell me about this. You pray this a lot. What does that do for you? Talk to me about that. They say, well, I don't know. And see, if someone really doesn't know, they don't know how to say, I don't know. But if you say, tell me how that works, you know what? It really isn't working really good for me. And you say, have you thought about this? And this is what I do. And man, I was doing the same thing, or I really didn't have anything. I respect that you're trying something. I didn't know anything, but now this is what I'm doing. And I like talk to God and he answers me and I read the scripture and like, look what I found today. See, don't be pulling out your frozen fruit either. I read something back in 73. Let me see if I can find that. Pull out a little bowl of stuff you just chopped up this morning. Say, man, I was reading today. Let me show you this thing. Pull out your phone, your Bible, go look at this. Man, I found out today that God loves me. Does your God love you? Do you feel that? Do you know that? Never thought about that. He does. and this Jesus thing. Have anybody told you about that whole deal? No, I never heard that. Wow, let me tell you about Jesus. He left heaven, and a lot of people think it's arrogant because he said he was the only way, the truth, and the life. See, there's ways to quote scripture without killing somebody. He said that, and I didn't know that, and that seemed a little arrogant to be the only way, but as it turns out, I think that's it. And then you trust that the Holy Spirit's working on them, and they go, oh my gosh, I've never heard this before. And I'm going to have to lay all this down and pick this, but that's what I've been looking for my whole life. Can you help me? Yeah, absolutely, right?
Go to Acts chapter 17, in verse 16. When Paul is out on one of his trips, going from city to city, sharing the gospel, going back to some cities. He did multiple trips where he'd go back and make sure they were okay, following up on them. Verse 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, what does this babbler want to say? What is he talking about? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. Now, if you think they believe some crazy stuff, let me remind you, you believe crazy stuff. While you're and we're laughing about everybody else being Looney Tunes, we are the Looney Tunes. Because what you're going out there proclaiming and claiming you believe is that God came to earth in the form of a man, born of a virgin. First thing is impossible. God in a man, that should be impossible. Living a sinless life, that is impossible. And that somehow if he dies on some cross and his blood is shed, like, you know, soldiers go somewhere and their blood shed buys freedom. We say, well, his blood being shed bought us freedom. And then they buried him and he was raised from the dead, which that is impossible. And if you believe all that, you will die and go to heaven and live forever. You're crazy. And the preaching of the gospel is foolishness. The Bible says that what we tell them is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. So you don't back off of it. And you might even start by saying, look, I'm about to tell you the craziest thing you have ever heard in your life. And I used to think it was crazy and those people that believed it were Looney Tunes, but there has been nothing changed my life like what I'm about to tell you. So they think he's crazy, proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears, and they have heard some strange things. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. He didn't punch him in the nose. He's got an opportunity to speak to a large group of people on Mars Hill here and share the gospel. And so he says, I perceive that you're very religious. If you don't know what else to say, save that. For as I was passing through and considered the objects of your worship, which you go to their town, they had altars to everything because they just said, well, whatever you want to believe, if you think this country's lost its mind, we are way behind. Cultures before, they'd set up little temples and, you know, be politically correct, don't leave anybody out. And they were so intent on this that he says, I was passing through considering the objects of your worship, didn't call them idols, the objects of your worship. I even found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God. They set one up in case they left somebody out. So to the one we don't even know what his name is, we don't want to offend him. So he sees that, he picks up on the town he's in, notices what they've got, and uses that in his message. Therefore, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, him I proclaim to you. I'm going to tell you about that one. You didn't know who he was? Well, I got a name for him. And we already know he talked to him about who? Jesus and the resurrection. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. Now, let me tell you how I was raised. I would have read that out loud like he was angry when he said it. And you can't find that in the scripture. We superimpose our own preconceived notions and where we are coming from and assume that that's where he was coming from. If he didn't love them, he wouldn't be messing with them. You just go outside of town and dust your feet off and let them burn in hell. You know, like, what's that about? That's easy, right? I'm trying. So now let me read it to you again. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. He's right here. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said. He is using their altar to the unknown God, and now he starts quoting their poetry to them. For we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked. Okay, so you say, well, I was ignorant. I didn't know. And it said, okay, Paul says, he's overlooked your ignorance, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. You got no more excuse. The offspring of God. God made you, so you have some God part of you. There must be something similar. We're made in his image. So why would you make another image that's not even in your own image to bow down and worship? Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And by the way, if you think someone's not going to make fun of you, you're going to have to get a life. It's nuts. Someone is going to push back. You say, well, I don't want to feel bad. Be more concerned about where they're going to spend eternity than how you're going to feel for a minute. I don't like being rejected. He was despised and rejected, and it got him killed. If you are going to follow him, you're going to have to take up your cross daily and follow him. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. And it may not be fun, it may not be pretty, but what will happen is you will get through to some people. Because look what happens. Some mocked, while others said, we will hear you again on this matter. Now, he had to have been winsome in his approach, or they wouldn't have said, well, listen some more. If he had just punched him in the nose, they'd said, well, get him out of here. He's just some angry prophet dude, crazy person. Get him out of here. We'll hear you again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysius and the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Some believed. So you say, well, I want everybody to believe. It may not happen that way. But he took advantage of the opportunity, knew what to say, how to say it, engaged in a conversation, used their culture, their idol, their everything, put it all together, and bam, some believed.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something with you about the program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a huge priority to us. And you can join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in, or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellis.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
You're going to end up out of your little box, I'm telling you. And you need to get out of your box before you end up in a box. And you say, oh, well, this is a wonderful message because I know all types of people. And I am just the person you've mentioned. I love all people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being with all people. And when you are tapped and the Holy Spirit says, speak, then you risk losing that friend because you care more about their soul than being just their friend. Does everybody get that? You say, well, I'm just tolerant, I'm politically correct. This is not about being politically correct. This is about being spiritually correct. And I even say to some people, I will say, look, I've known you a long time, and I'm about to cross a line that may cost me this relationship. But I am not going to live and die knowing you, playing golf with you, whatever it is you do with these people, getting our nails done together, whatever you're doing, And we talk about our family, our friends, our problems, all this. And I have never told you about the most important thing in my life. So I'm about to talk to you about something very important, but I know it may create a problem, but I'm willing to risk that. Are you okay? And then you share your heart. And they say, holy cow, I've never heard that before. Thank you for caring enough to talk to me.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. We all have busy schedules these days, so it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Richard would love to know how today's talk has touched your heart, so give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also share your story with us at our website, richardellis.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program that is always expanding to reach the world with the good news of the gospel, but it also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program like ours means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. We believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by calling 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellis.com. Thank you for your generosity. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.